The moment you create a great product, you have a duty and an obligation to scale fast.
Welcome to the Bedros Koulian Show.
What's the difference between me and you? Back when Q was rolling with Lorenzo in a Benzo, I was banging with a gang of instrumentals.
Hey, what's going on, friends? Welcome to the Bedros Koulian Show. I'm Bedros Koulian, and today I've got a great topic that I've got teed up for you guys today. And this is actually a byproduct from the feedback that you all gave me via the comments and the DMs on Instagram and YouTube. So let's kick it off. The topic for today is really six unconventional scale strategies to grow your business. And as you guys know, I not only coach and consult entrepreneurs across various industries, helping them scale and grow their business to multiple seven figures, eight figures, nine figures. But I've also done that with my businesses, right? Fit Body Bootcamp, Trulene, currently partnered up with Fuel Hunt, a couple of software companies and my coaching programs, et cetera. And so I've been a serial entrepreneur for 20 years. I enjoy the sport of entrepreneurship, and I'm a believer in scaling things quickly because I really believe, guys, that when you have an idea for a good product or service, the moment you have that idea and you put it out in the ethers, someone else is probably going to have a similar idea, and that's just how it works. And all of a sudden, they're going to produce it. And now it's who gets to market quicker, who gets the product in the hands of the consumers quicker, who has a better product, who has a better marketing message, right? And so what I found is if I'm going to create a company, if I'm going to create a business, a product, a service, I really want to do something that it can scale quickly, I can own the industry, or at least be one of the dominant players in that industry so that I'm not just clawing for the scraps and in business to barely get by. Because when you think about the number of people that are in business, they're entrepreneurs, whether they have a product or a service, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a supplement company or a t-shirt company or a coaching service. More often than not, like 85, 90% of entrepreneurs are just getting by, barely breaking even. And I often think to myself, like, how many more years are you going to do that before you realize you can go get a good 9-to-5 job doing something and you can actually turn your brain off after 5 p.m. because you know this as an entrepreneur, whether you're just barely getting by or you're making millions and millions, you're really working 24/7, 365, right? Now, if I'm making a lot of money, I don't mind working 24/7, 365. And when I say 24/7, 365, I mean your brain's always working on your business because that's what the sport of entrepreneurship is. I imagine like any other athlete in the world, when you're not on the field, you know, how you eat, how you train, your sleeping patterns, everything you do, you still kind of think about the sport that you're doing and how can I play at the highest level so that I could win and keep getting paid big bucks, right? Entrepreneurship is the same way. But fuck, if I'm not making any money from the businesses that I've started, then what am I doing? Why am I putting this much thought and energy and time into a business that's otherwise not making me money? I might as well go get a 9-to-5 and at that point, make good money, not have to stress out, turn my brain off at 5 o'clock, probably have some kind of health insurance, have some kind of pension plan, right? But if you're here because you have a product or a service and you're like, man, I'm just getting by, or my business is doing $500,000, $1 million, maybe a couple million a year, and I wanna scale quickly, and I wanna get to that tipping point where I'm doing 8 figures, 9 figures, and I am an industry dominator, then this episode is for you. So let's get started. I'm gonna share with you six unconventional strategies. And the reason I'm calling these unconventional strategies is oftentimes when I do my domination year coaching days, right, with my coaching clients, we do half day coaching sessions upstairs. When I share these with them, they're like, boom, light bulb goes off. They're like, holy shit, I never thought of that. So let's dive into it. And I think this is gonna be really good information for you to use in your business. Most of you know me for Fit Body Bootcamp, our international fitness franchise. We have hundreds of locations worldwide. You know me for Trulene supplements, right? You know me for Fuel Hunt. You know me for, you know, Modern Day Night Project, Squire program, Domination Year coaching program, BK Live, live events. You might know me for companies that I've invested in, right? But what you probably don't know is back in 2003, I started a little software company called High Tech Trainer. And High Tech Trainer was supposed to be an online personal training program that you would download onto a Palm Pilot. This is before iPhones and Android phones back then were still flip phones. And so you would download it to a Palm Pilot, you take it to the gym, and you could work out and then come home and re-upload the program. And of course, it would give you a better workout for the next day and a more difficult, challenging workout the next day, et cetera. It would progress you along like a personal trainer, but in the palm of your hands, right? Except the only thing with high-tech trainer was I didn't know much about scaling a business. I was like, all right, I'm the CEO. I've got software programmers that I've partnered with because I was broke. So if you're like, damn, you must have had a lot of money to get software programmers. No, by the time it was all said and done, I owned like 28% of that business. The rest was belonged to my mentor at the time, Jim Franco, who I've talked about on here. The software programmers who I had met, I gave them equity as well. And I gave these people equity because I didn't have money to pay them. So Jim Franco got equity because he funded some of the money so that we can get going. And then the software programmers got paid in equity, knowing that they're going to get paid on the back end as the product started to make money. And so I had my small little 28%, but I understood the model. As the business gets bigger, then 28% of a lot of money will go to me. The only problem was I didn't know how to scale. 2003, I came up with the idea of high-tech trainer, right? By 2004, late 2004, we had our prototype that would download to Palm Pilots, which were called PDAs, personal daily assistants, right? Or personalized daily assistants. And it was like a, basically like a, think what an iPhone apps that have like the, your manages your schedule in your life. It was a Palm Pilot. And so it would download from your laptop or your computer, and then you would pay $59 a month to hightechtrainer.com. Like the idea of it was great. Little did I know the iPhone was gonna come out in 2007. So the way we were trying to grow this thing is we were going to conventions. We were going to, God, I'm laughing about it, just thinking about it. But we were going to conventions, like fitness conventions, and then exercise equipment conventions, and then health club conventions, because we were trying to get into health clubs. And we'd go to conventions and we'd buy a 10 by 10 booth, and you just hope that the right people walk by your booth and they show interest in what you have. And then you can go, hey, did you want this in your health club? Did you want to use this for yourself? Like, we can do it for the individual user, or you could have it at your health club and pay us a premium fee. And then you can charge your clients additional money for using this in your health club. The idea of it was sound, but by the time we started to get any kind of traction, the iPhone came out. And when the iPhone came out, it absolutely destroyed high-tech trainer. My problem was that I was trying to do everything in a silo. I was like, I'm gonna get my own online lead. So I had hightechtrainer.com and we had a website. And granted, there was no social media back then, right? But we had a website. But if I knew these six strategies I'm gonna share with you here, dude, I could have scaled high-tech trainer so big that it probably would have ended up like then pivoting into an app that would blow up on the iPhone and on the Android. But because it didn't scale fast enough, it literally got gobbled up and died. And I think that was one of the best lessons for me as an entrepreneur, because the moment you create a great product, you have a duty and an obligation to scale fast. And when you scale fast, you make a lot of money. Yes, you're gonna make a lot of mistakes too. But when you have a lot of money, you can course correct those mistakes. And that's a really good thing to do. What could I have done differently? Well, I could have done thing number one I'm going to teach you, which is you ask yourself, who has my future customers and clients? Now, imagine with high-tech trainer, if I asked myself, who has my future customers and clients, I wouldn't have gone to a trade show. I would have gone right to a big box gym. I would have gone to 24-Hour Fitness. I would have gone to, back then there was Bally's Fitness. It was a big chain of gyms across the country. I would have gone to LA Fitness, right? And I would have said, hey, you guys have thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of members. Only a small percentage can afford to work with a personal trainer. The rest of them probably need some guidance, need some structure, need some personal training, but can't afford $600 to $1,000 a month for a personal trainer. Since you already have the audience and they already trust you, they pay you a gym membership fee. What if we do a joint venture and you guys become resellers of my high-tech trainer Palm Pilots, and I give you 33% commission, right? Imagine that. So think about this. When you start asking yourself today, especially with social media, podcast, YouTube, stages, personalities, influencers, you ask yourself, who has my future customers? See, when you make a product, it's the number one question you have to ask. Otherwise, you're going to have to go out there and run ads and hope with your tiny little social media following that you could somehow get one or two customers or clients at a time. That's going to take forever. That's called linear growth. And because I was on the linear growth train with High Tech Trainer, I ended up going out of business because the iPhone was created and the Android was created. Palm Pilots went out of business. We didn't have enough money in the company to change the software language to fit the iPhone, right? To fit the Android apps. I just didn't have the money. I ran out of air. In business, in entrepreneurship, I need you to understand that money is like oxygen. When you have money, you have time and space to make decisions. If you don't have money, it's like holding your breath. Sooner or later, you're going to die. So when you ask yourself, who has my future customers? And I'll give you a great example of this that I use in modern times. In 2018, I wrote my book, Man Up. And I was writing it. Actually, in 2018 is when my book launched, right? It was published in 2018, September 18, 2018. However, I was writing the book in 2015. By 2016, I had a publisher. Now, my Instagram following back then was probably about 5,000 or 6,000 followers, about 2 years before my book launched. So I'm talking 2016. That's not enough followers to create a best-selling book, a New York Times bestseller, a Wall Street Journal bestseller, an Amazon bestseller. And so I knew that. So I asked myself, who has my future customers? And that 2 year period while I'm working with my publisher and refining the book, and we're setting up a publishing date for the future, which ended up being September 18, 2018. During that 2 year period, I went to my marker board and I was like, all right, let me make a list of everybody who I think has my future customers. And I started writing lists like names of podcasts, of YouTube shows, of Instagram accounts that have to do with success, personal development, business, right? And I was like, man, I got to get to know all these names. I ended up coming up with about 16 or 17 names that finally were like, all right, if these people can promote my book, then I'm going to be a bestseller, because they had my future customers, their audiences that they already listened to their podcast, watch their YouTube show, hang out on their social media. That means they're trusted. They had the know, like, and trust factor. So why would I go and do cold marketing to try and promote my book by buying ads? When people see an ad, they're like, who's this guy? I've never seen this guy before. He's selling a book called Man Up. Never heard of him. I'm going to take a pass on that, right? Like, why would they buy a book? And so you can imagine, like, for every like 500 people that would see my ad, maybe one would buy a book. That's not going to make it worth my time. And with a 5,000 person following on Instagram, and I think on YouTube at the time, I probably had like 7,000 or 8,000 subscribers. It wasn't like I was going to make my book a bestseller. And so I knew that I had to attack that list for that 2 year period and build relationships, right? And I think that's what you guys forget to do. You don't realize that people or platforms out there already have your future customers, and they are willing to promote your book as long as it's, or your product or your service, as long as it's not a competitive thing to them. Now, obviously, if you've got a supplement company, you wouldn't go to another supplement company CEO who has a big platform or podcast and say, hey, man, will you promote my supplement company? That's not going to work, right? But imagine that if you've got a supplement company and I'm co-owner of a apparel company, and let's say I didn't own Trulene Supplements. Well, don't you think Fuel Hunt might be willing to do a joint venture with your supplement company and maybe do a little bit of a cross promotion and expose your great book or your great supplements or your great product or service to their audience in exchange for you to expose them to your audience? Of course they would. The problem is you don't think about doing that because you don't realize that other people are willing to help you. But they're only willing to help you when you understand this concept. Friends making money with friends. That is the most important thing I need you to understand. You can't just go to someone that's got a million subscribers, a million followers, 200,000 followers, whatever, and be like, hey man, I love your content. Can you promote for me? It doesn't work that way. Because I can tell you from my personal experience, I literally get hundreds of people in my DMs every single day asking me questions, wanting me to promote something for them, wanting me to joint venture with them, wanting me to take equity in their business. And it's like, why would I do that when I have 100% equity in my businesses, when I have equity in a business that I actually believe in already, right? But if you were willing to take a couple years, like I did, from 2016 to 2018, I attacked that list of 17 names. And of that list, I only knew two of those people, sort of. I had spoken on stage with two of those people once before. So I'd seen them in the green room, but I didn't really have a relationship where I could really reach out to them and be like, hey, would you promote for me? What I did is I took time to get to know them. I started commenting on their social media. I started posting stuff on my social media platforms and then tagging them and giving them love and recognition. I started to send them DMs of like, thank you and gratitude for that post, for that podcast episode, for that YouTube show you put out. I figured out what their address was for their home or for their business, and I sent them something in the mail. During that 2-year period, I sent more steaks from DeBraga, which is an amazing butcher shop out in New York. I sent more steaks from DeBraga during those 2-year period than any other time in my life. I would send food to them, and it was just notes of gratitude. I would figure out how I would add value to their life. I just came with so much goodwill and value to those 17 names that when my book launched, 16 of the 17 actively promoted my book within that 2-week launch period. That's how my book, Man Up, became a bestseller. That's how it popped off on Amazon. That's how it gets recommended when other people buy business or self-development books on Amazon. It's like, hey, you also want to get Man Up. Hey, you also want to get Man Up. Because when you're able to scale that quickly, it sends a message to social media that this book, this product, this service, this whatever it is that you have is worthwhile. And so if you take the time and you start thinking about what network you can build, then your net worth will accelerate, right? That is scaling. Thing number two, the 5% rule. Y'all gotta follow the 5% rule. I created the 5% rule many years ago. And the whole idea is this. If you and I have the same identical business, we have the same amount of money, we have the same level of intelligence, we have the same number of networks and contacts, and then we have the same amount of money, right? Marketing dollars. And then we launch on the same day. If you are working 8 hours a day in your business, doing the accounting, you're packaging up and selling, sending the product by going to the post office or to FedEx, you're doing everything 8 hours a day. I'm working the same 8 hours a day. But I have decided that I might give away maybe 10 or 15% equity in my company to some people who can work the warehouse. I might figure out how to get a side job on the weekends to make extra money so I can pay an accountant to do my accounting, right? My P&L reports. I'm not gonna work on 100% of the business. I'm gonna work on 5% of the business that really matters for those 8 hours a day. So imagine this, you're working on 100% of the business, doing everything. You make the product, you package up the product, you go ship the product, you maybe get on the phone and do customer support and service. If you have a couple employees, you're handwriting checks, right? You're doing all that trivial stuff. Whereas for the same 8 hours a day, I'm just focusing on the 5% that matter. And you're probably wondering, what is the 5% that matter, Bedros? DLC, remember that. My 5% is DLC. Delegate, lead, and create, right? I'm gonna delegate the other 95% to anyone else that I can. Even if I have to give off equity, if I have to get a side job on the weekends and make extra money so I can hire a part-time assistant, a part-time warehouse employee, a part-time social media, ad buyer, so I don't have to go and like buy ads. I can hire an ad agency who can actually do it right. You know what I mean? If I have to give off a little bit of equity, I'm willing to do that, right? And now for that 8 hours a day, I'm working on the 5% that matter, that actually move the needle. That 8 hours a day, you're working on 100% of the things. Well, guess what? After a month, I'm gonna be far more ahead of you in terms of revenue and reach because I worked on the critical few while you were working on the trivial many, right? Now you're like, well, yeah, but I take pride in doing that stuff. Don't take pride in doing that stuff. The 5% is all you have to do. Delegate, lead, and create. So you delegate out everything that you can that doesn't fall in your zone of genius. Right? Now, I can't delegate out doing this podcast. I can't delegate out doing my private coaching sessions upstairs when my half-day coaching clients come in, right? I can't delegate out a lot of things when I'm going to speak on stage at a live event or at one of my events. But everything else, like I walk in here into the studio, it's already lit up. Ed's behind the camera. The team's sitting there taking notes. Like everyone's doing their thing. And I just have to take my content and deliver it to you. That is my zone of genius. That's my 5%. Now imagine if I had to like figure out setting up the camera, setting up the lights, write my own captions and my stuff for the YouTubes and the podcast, right? And then edit this video. Like, fuck. That is not my zone of genius. That is their zone of genius. And they need to be delegating stuff out that is not in their zone of genius, right? Like if they're like, well, I'm going to go to the store and go buy a hard drive because we need more hard drives. No, don't go to the store. Like delegate to my assistant and say, hey, I need a hard drive, this one from this website, buy it. That way they can spend more time behind their laptops doing what's in their zone of genius, in their 5%. And the moment you start thinking about that 5% rule and start delegating everything else and then leading your team, right? DLC. You lead your team by giving them their marching orders, by empowering them to take action on the things that are going to move the money and the meaning needle. And then the C part is to create content like we're doing now. Because the more content that you create across Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, podcast platforms, the more visibility you're going to get. And if you have more time because you've delegated the other 95%, then you can create more content, which means you get an advantage over your competitors. If you're putting out 10 pieces of content per week and your competitor who's doing everything, like 100% of the work, is only putting out 2 pieces of content per week, well, shoot, you're being seen like 300 to 400% more, right? That means you're gonna have a 300 to 400% higher probability of selling more products and services, right? So remember the 5% rule. That's thing number two, the 5% rule, delegate, lead and create, and then outsource everything else. Scale strategy number three, replace how and what with who. This is one of the more recent lessons I've learned. When I say recent, probably more in the last like 6-7 years, right? You've heard me say this before. I used to be the CEO of Fit Body Bootcamp. Now I'm just the founder of Fit Body Bootcamp. While technically I'm still the CEO of Trulene Supplements, really Jeff Rosenquist, who's my VP, does all the CEO work. And down the line, he'll actually get the promotion to CEO and I'll be the founder again. I just want to be in the founder seat, right? When I was in the CEO seat, I found myself having to do a lot of the day-to-day work and managing and leading of people. The point I'm making is when you are the person in the driver's seat, you find yourself saying, well, how do I need to do this to get more clients, right? Maybe it's, how do I create a YouTube show? Maybe it's how do I buy more traffic? Maybe it's how do we create better systems? How do we find a warehouse that can take over our shipments because we've outgrown the other warehouse? So whether you're asking how do I do this or you ask what do I need to do, those are the wrong questions. You have to say who do I need to get, right? When you say who do I need to get, in my head I was like, I need to get a CEO. And if I can get Bryce as my CEO, maybe I pay him and I give him some equity in the company and he runs the business as the CEO, which frees me up from leading and managing the team, from leading and managing the business so that I can do more of this, which is to delegate, lead, and create. I want to lead my leaders and let my leaders lead the teams. And those teams lead the systems, right? You might think that your employees or your teams are running your business. They're not. And if they are, then you're going to royally screw up. If you want to scale faster, you have to have systems. Systems scale your business. Your teams, your people run the systems, right? That way, if I have a system, the system's not going to get fired or the system's not going to quit. Now, if an employee gets fired or if an employee quits, I can bring in a new employee as long as they're competent. They can run the system. But if someone's like doing all the work themselves and they haven't systematized or created a process for something, when they get fired, the system or the process goes with them and now I'm stuck. This has probably happened to you where you feel like man, I'm held captive by one of my employees. I feel like I can't fire them. And or if they quit, I'm going to be stuck. My business is going to slow down. Well, that's because you haven't created a process. Why don't you document the most important processes? It's probably going to be lead acquisition, lead conversion, which is sales, right? Retention, referral generation, support, like customer client support. And then probably something where it's like regeneration. How do I make more money from them? How do I take that customer and make more money from them? Sell more value adds to them, right? But if you're not thinking about who, you're just thinking about what do I need to do and how do I need to do it, you end up being the bottleneck in your business. But if you think about who do I need to get? So think about this. If you're like, you know what, B, I'm inspired. I'm going to create my own podcast. I'm going to create my own YouTube show. You've inspired me to create content. And I'm going to put up one short every day, like you always say. I'm going to put up two long form episodes on YouTube a week. And I'm going to put up one long form podcast on the podcast platforms a week. I'm like, cool. You're like, so what cameras do I need? What mics do I need? What editing software do I need? What skill sets do I need to learn? Right? Remember, I said, what or how do I edit? Wrong questions. Who can do this for me? I want you to be able to walk into your studio, whether that's your living room or wherever, your little office somewhere, or your big office somewhere, and then just get it done. Because if you truly believe in your product or service, and you know that if you put out enough content, that you will start gaining followers and subscribers, and then you can start converting them into paying customers and clients, then it makes sense to hire a part-time videographer for $1,000 a day, right? If it's $1,000 a day and you're gonna hire them for 2 days a month, and maybe you batch process a whole bunch of content in each of those days, and then they charge you another $500 to go and edit that. So now for $2,500 a month, you've got your entire show canned and cloned. All you have to do is come up with episode topics and ideas, and then they are gonna film, they're gonna light it up, they're gonna make sure the mic works, they're gonna make sure the editing is done well, and then they give it to you in a Dropbox link or some kind of a Google Drive, where then you or another teammate, hopefully that you can delegate to, can upload that content as needed. You see the value of that, right? So you always need to ask yourself, who can do this for me? Who can do that for me? Who can do this for me? And how can I compensate them? You always think that compensating someone is an expense. It's not. It is an asset if the content they create helps convert. So if I'm paying, let's say I'm new at this, and I'm paying someone $2,500 a month to help create content and edit for me, and they're filming and editing and making sure the audio is right. Well, dude, now all that time that I was going to use on filming and editing and lighting the place up and the microphone, all those skill sets that I had to learn, I could actually go do other stuff. I could actually drive traffic for the business. I could actually have call to actions on my social media that move people to a conversion conversation, move them into my DMs and start conversing with them, getting on the phone with them, closing them on the product or service. I can move them to a website, a top of the funnel, where I can then take them to a website, have them fill out an application, and then convert them into clients and customers. You see the value of that? Now, if that video guy that you paid $2,500 a month to got you two new clients or customers, depending on the price that you charge, if you have a high ticket service, you probably made 5 or 10x what you're paying them, right? And if you have a smaller price point product or service, then hopefully you're able to get the volume where you're still coming up with more money than you're giving out. That is the whole goal here. So who can I get instead of how do I do this or what do I need to do? When you find the who, you no longer become the bottleneck. All right, moving on. Number four, I want you guys to learn to brand yourself. Most of you go around trying to brand your business and you hide behind your business and you don't want to put yourself out there because what if I get rejected? What if I look stupid? What if people don't think that I'm beautiful and pretty enough? Shut up with that stuff, right? You're beautiful, you're handsome, and if you got a few pounds to lose, go get lean, get jacked, and lose those weights and learn to speak. Go take an improv class. Go do some, you know, open mic nights at a local like comedy store. They'll teach you how to like speak and structure sentences. Go take a Toastmasters class. Like there's so many ways to learn how to speak. Now you become better, right? At building your brand. But many of you are hiding behind your product. Remember, people don't want to do business with business. They want to do business with people. Like we're in the people business, right? This is why Tesla blew up so quickly. because Elon decided that he's going to put himself out there. And when Elon Musk decides that he's going to put himself out there, and you're like, you know what? I love what he stands for. I love how he speaks. I love the position that he takes. I love how he's polarizing. I think I'm going to use his product or service. So if I'm going to buy an electric car, fuck it. I'm going to buy a Tesla, right? Like, think about that. That makes sense. Same thing with Steve Jobs. Hell, Bill Gates had the market cornered where computers and Microsoft was concerned. Bill Gates was like, all right, Apple is a better product, but instead of just trying to brand Apple like we've tried before and it failed, he started branding himself. Steve Jobs put himself out there. And as he put himself out there and he became likable, he became someone who knew how to orate and share good content in terms of from stage when he would launch a product. And soon you're like, you know what? I like what this guy stands for. I'm going to buy the product. Same thing goes for The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, right? He figured out very quickly that he is a brand. So rather than just trying to grow the tequila company on its own, Termana, or Zoa, the energy drink company that he has, he brands himself. And in his content that he has out there, he places the product in it. Because we all like The Rock. We all want to see what he's doing. We all want to take a peek into his life. And we're like, oh, he's working out and drinking a Zoa energy drink. Oh, look, he's taking a break after a long week. And he's relaxing with a shot of tequila, his brand of tequila. Oh, look, he's doing something else. And he's wearing like The Rock and Under Armour cross-promoted pants, shorts, shirt, cutoffs, shoes, whatever, right? Like the dude is branding himself so well across social media and then baking his products and services into his posts. You see how that works? And you think about what we do with this show. I created the Truly Wellness Shot, right? We created this with like every awesome freaking ingredient possible. And then what did we do? We run an offer on this show, right? Use code Bedros, get 50% off your first subscribe and save. And then you get 20% off ongoing. You get free shipping. If you don't like the product after trying it for 30 days, just let us know. You get your money back. Like that is the most irresistible and awesome offer I can make you. Like I'm going to bake the commercial, the product into the show, into my posts. And when I do, and I make an offer, you're probably going to buy it. If you know, like, and trust me. But if you're like, man, I think he's shady. Man, I don't think he's like legit. Man, I don't think he really puts all the great ingredients in there like he says. Then that's a different story. So that we should talk about. If you're branding yourself and you're a douchebag, or if your product or service is crap and it doesn't meet the expectations of the customer, of the consumer, like if you're promising a unicorn and delivering a donkey, you're out of line. Your product must be like a 10 out of 10. You better promise a horse and deliver a unicorn, not promise a unicorn and deliver a donkey. Like that part is super important. And a lot of you forget about that because then you get so caught up in trying to build your social media, the customer or client experience is lousy. Like I know for a fact, because we've got literally thousands of people taking the Truly Wellness Shot. Like we've now sold over a million of these, right? And we got thousands and thousands of people that are on the Truly Tribe subscription club. And they stay on that for months at a time because the product works. If the product didn't work, and if there was no likability and relationship between you and I wouldn't be able to bake in the product in the content that I'm creating. It wouldn't make sense. And so then how would I scale the Truly Wellness Shot even further? Great question. I would go back to point number one on this list, which is who else has my customers? Well, okay, Bedros, I've got my own customers, right? I got a million people on Instagram. I've got whatever, 600, 700,000 on YouTube. Podcast is top five and blowing up. Great. But that's still operating in a vacuum, in a silo. That's just my own ecosystem. Are there other podcasts, YouTube shows, Instagram accounts that would likely promote the Wellness Shot in exchange for a commission for the sales that they drive? If they did the same promotion that I'm doing here on the show, probably. Do you think that we are actively now reaching out? My team is reaching out in getting other influencers and creators to use the product. And if they like the product and believe in the product, we're making them an offer to promote it on their show, on their platform, because they already have my future customers. Why would I just go run ads, cold ads to cold audiences who don't know Trulene, who don't know me yet, right? I want to infiltrate the audience of other people who are already trusted, where the audience and the creator already have a relationship. And when you do, that's like fishing with a nuclear bomb, guys. I want you to fish with the nuclear bomb and not just a fishing rod like I did with High Tech Trainer. The reason High Tech Trainer never made it is because I was on the linear path. I want you to have exponential growth. Exponential growth comes from testing out what works in your ecosystem. And we found the offer that works for Trulene Wellness Shots. And then scaling that across other platforms, podcasts, YouTube shows, influencers on social media, right? That's the model. So it is very, very important for you guys to understand that. So if you can brand yourself and then sell your product through your brand, then you probably want to go, how do I brand myself? Well, what is it that you do every day? How do you stay fit? What do you eat? Where do you go? What books do you read? What music do you listen to? There's so much you can share. Everybody, all social media is like a tiny little channel of a reality show. Like, share your life's reality show. Be interesting. Ask interesting questions. I'm not saying like be sensational and polarizing where like now half the people hate you. What I am saying is like you probably have some interesting stuff going on in your life. You're just too chicken to share that on social media. And when you guys do, most of you are just so poorly structured in the way you share it. It's inconsistent. You're all over the map. You don't do it long enough to gain traction. And then you quit and give up and you're like, see, it didn't work. Like, what if I said, just do it for the rest of your life? Like, one of my coaching clients, her name is Snej. She's a gangster at this. She signed up with me on the Domination Year coaching program about, I think, 9 months ago. 9 months ago, she drops 100 G's, right? She owns a gym in Brea, California out here, Ozletics. And she's like, hey, my gym is doing good, but I also want to do online coaching. At the time, I think she maybe had 1,000 or 2,000 people following her on social media, on Instagram specifically. I was like, all right, one of her many marching orders that I gave her was, you're going to create content and you are in great shape. You have a very polarizing, like, personality. Like, she's no bullshit. She's direct and she's brutally honest. I go, but on social media, I can tell you're holding back. But here in person during this half day, and when we've gone out to dinner, I see how you can bring the thunder. If you can bring that same energy to social media every single day on every single topic, your shit's gonna blow up. Well, here we are 9 months later. She's got 30 or 40,000 Instagram subscribers. Her business now, because I just did a coaching call with her yesterday, in 9 months went from zero to $40,000 a month. Her online coaching business, not her gym. Her gym is growing too. Just the revenue from her online coaching business went from $0 a month in 9 months to $40,000 a month. And by the time February ends, right? February of 2024 ends, she'll have hit $60,000 a month in reoccurring money. Like, that is life-changing money. And it's all because she built her personal brand. And of course, now part of her marching order is, who else has your future customers? What can you do to do the next thing that I'm going to teach you, right? Which is number five, which is to create and collaborate. So not only create content on your platform, on Instagram, on YouTube, for podcasts, for TikTok, that's still, remember, working in a silo in your ecosystem. I said, what can you do to create and collaborate with others? Who else out there shares your message, does what you do? But maybe they do nutrition and you do training. Maybe they do apparel and you do training. Like, they, maybe that, they, maybe someone's got like a 250,000 person Instagram page and they sell workout clothes or workout gear or supplements, but they don't have anyone doing the nutrition or the online coaching piece. What can you do to start using their product, shouting them out, showing them love, building relationships, and then collaborating together to joint promote now that you have a bigger following. Boof, right? Don't be surprised when, whatever, 30, 40 episodes from now, I'm like, hey, guess what? She is now making $250,000 a month. Just like Rachel Shearer. I've told you guys about Rachel Shearer. I've told you guys about Tony Steffen. Both of them, online coaches, making like $4,000 or $5,000 a month, and today making multiple six figures a month, simply because of the strategy I'm sharing with you here, right? But when you're not building your own personal brand, when you're not networking with others, when you're not creating and collaborating with others, when you're not doing the 5% of the work that you need to do, like just focus on the 5% for the 8 hours a day. So imagine that, imagine for just 8 hours a day, like you pick one day a week, 8 hours a day, you're just adding value to the people's lives that you want to eventually get to know and connect with, because you've delegated all the other work, right? The other 95% is being delegated, so you're able to do that all day long. Think about how many people you can reach out to, how much love and support and connection you can make. Listen, I stopped taking all of those and I started taking this, the Trulene Wellness Shot. In fact, I created this because I was sick and tired of every morning taking 11 different supplements like turmeric, ginger, cayenne pepper, black pepper, vitamin B12, echinacea, vitamin C, zinc, right? Think about this. If you want to improve your immune system, if you want to fight off inflammation in your body so that you have better gut health, you have more energy, your joints don't hurt, then you're going to want to take all those supplements. And I was taking it twice a day, every day. And so when we created the Trulene Wellness Shot, we cut no corners and we spared no expense. And so in this, you've got something that's going to not only help boost your immune system, but also fight off inflammation. Because if you're a high performer and if you want to get more done, if you want to stay more focused, if you want to make sure that you don't get sick as frequently, then you have to care about your immune system and you have to fight off inflammation, especially if you're an entrepreneur and you're high performing and you have a stressful work day from time to time, right? And so here's what I want you to do. You're going to click on the link in the description box or go to trulene.com and you're going to use the code word Bedros. And when you use my name, Bedros, you'll get 50% off your first subscribe and save bundle. For whatever reason, you don't like the Trulene Wellness Shot, which I have yet to meet anyone who doesn't, then let us know in your first 30 days. We'll give you a full refund, part ways as friends. Fair enough? Go check it out. Use the code word Bedros. Get 50% off. Peace. And lastly, strategy number 6 to scale your business exponentially. Learn to lead and not just manage. Most of you think that because you have the title of CEO or founder or boss, you think you're the leader. And you're not really leading. You're micromanaging your people. You haven't empowered them to do what they need to do on their own. That is leadership. You're micromanaging them, right? Like, I'll give you a great example. I'll use this podcast again as an example. I've empowered my team here. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 of them here in this room. Like, I didn't tell Ed what angles he should shoot from, right? I've asked him that I'd like 2 different angles. I said, here's how I kind of see the set looking when we started making this. I'd like 2 different angles. And he's like, cool, I'll figure out the 2 angles that work best. I've empowered him, right? Same with the editing. In fact, the only time I gave him editing, hey, Ed, remember when I told you like, hey, let's do the quick cuts and just get right to the meat of the content? And that was the marketing one that I taught maybe like, I don't know, 6 or 7 episodes ago. You guys absolutely shat on it. You guys said it was horrible, it was awful. Like who edited your shit? And that was my fault. I literally told Ed, like, dude, take all the stories out, take all the bullshit out. Turns out you like the bullshit. You like when I talk about gelatinous titties. You like when I talk about the sprinkled Cheeto dust in your belly button. You like when I get up your ass. You like when I tell you stories about my life. I didn't realize that. I apologize. So I told Ed, let's just carve all that out. Instead of making like a 30, 40 minute episode, let's just drill it down to the meat of the content. And man, when I tried to micromanage Ed, that was a great example of do not micromanage someone. It backfired and you guys shat on me in the comments. And I love the relationship we have. Go for it. And as you can see, the next episode, we fixed, right? We fixed. So the point here is you think you're leading, but you're not. You're micromanaging. And the reason you're micromanaging is this. Because I can do a whole episode on leadership and management, right, of people. So we can't go on here. But what I want to tell you is the overarching view. Like when you are leading people, each of them know what to do and they go out and do it. Same with the people like who are like Lauren and Andrew, who are sitting right across from me here. They are taking this content and they are writing the description for YouTube, for the podcast. They're making the thumbnail. 9 out of 10 times, I'm good with the subject line and the headline of the thumbnail. Maybe I'll say switch this or change that when they run it by me. But I have to empower them because they're doing the research. They have a better pulse on what is going to get the click and the listen than I do. Now, if they try to micromanage me and they're like, hey, you know, have you tried this? Well, I don't deliver that way. I deliver this way, right? And so it won't work. And so understand that when you're leading, you get the right people who are bought into your vision. You teach them how to do their job, and then you empower them to do it. When you're managing someone, you're no longer leading. You're in the weeds. You're doing the driving. They're just doing the work, and they feel like they have to run everything by you every second. And that ends up creating a bottleneck because there's only one of you and maybe 5, 10, 15 of them. Like I said, just in this room, there's 5 of us. And this is just for my personal brand. Like, never mind the team for Fit Body Bootcamp, the team for Trulene, the team for all the other products and companies that we have, right? And so I can't be the micromanager. I have to learn to lead. And when I lead, I empower. And when I empower, it gives them the freedom and it gives them the creative space to go, hey, I got an idea. This might work. And guess what? Oftentimes, the ideas that they come up with does work because they have a better pulse on what's happening in their own zone of genius, in their own section that they're in charge of. They have a better pulse on it than I do. So once you realize that your job is really to figure out who has my future customers. Like, if you want to scale your business, those are the 6 things you got to do. Who has my future customers? What is the 5% that I need to focus on? And I can delegate the rest. My job is to delegate, lead, and create, right? You replace the how and the what with who can do this for me, instead of how do I do this or what do I need to do, who can do this for me. 4, brand yourself and not your business, and brand yourself consistently, right? 5, create and collaborate with others who have your future customers. And then 6, lead your people and don't just micromanage them. And when you do these things, you will have exponential growth, exponential scale in your business. You'll make more income, have more impact, have a lot more influence in your industry. And ultimately, that's what life is about, because money gives you access to opportunities, gives you freedom, allows you to buy back your time and do whatever the fuck you want in this beautiful planet of ours. Guys, thank you for watching this episode. Remember this, that average is the enemy. Success is your responsibility, and change can take place in an instant when you commit to flipping that switch. See you later. What's the difference between me and you? Back when Q was rolling with Lorenzo in a Benzo, I was banging with a gang of instrumentals.